From the heart of Europe to the world, RTI.
Welcome to Postcard from Potbread, in what is going to be a very packed show, as we promised you some new features starting this week. And if you're joining us for the first time, my name's Eric Wiltshire, at the base of the glorious Tatry Mountains, here in the east of Slovakia, in a town called Potbread, where it is snowing like crazy. Let it snow, let it snow, let it... It is really snowing, actually. We've got... what's his face? Who was that artist that chopped his ear off? Gauguin, wasn't it?
Hey?
Was it Gauguin that chopped his ear off or something?
No, try again.
Well, I've got the only one I know.
Something else?
Pass. Anyway, we've got the one-eared monster over in the UK, Lee Banks.
Well, hello there, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to merry old England. Can I just ask one question? Is Britain the most stupid country in the world?
Possibly.
We've got a Duchess being threatened with jail.
Possibly.
A TV
not.
Presenter being attacked for a joke. We've got cricket corruption. No money. No future. And we still brag about it being great.
But, it is great.
The other voice you can hear in the background, trying desperately to squeeze in, is the co-founder of the Consumer Action Group, Mark Andrew in Paris.
Yeah, hello there, and it's beautiful weather in Paris, but it is getting cold. And
bless. Yeah, you need to put your thermals on in a minute. Hi to the guys at Talk Radio, X Replay Radio, RTI, and Audio Boo. This is your sideways weekly look at the news. Sideways being the understatement of the decade, I think, if not future. Lee's going to run off with the first one because I'm sure this is something for you, Lee. Sue Carroll has departed.
Sue Carroll, yeah. What a tragedy. She was only 58, and she was. I knew Sue Carroll quite well, not in any sort of wrong way, just as a fellow journalist. And she was a lovely, gritty northerner. She came from Gosforth in Newcastle, and she was a good old tough northern journalist. And unfortunately, she got ill a couple of years ago. She, I'd say, she was only 58, mm-hmm. and she's died. She used to work on the Daily Mirror and the Daily Mail. It worked on most places, like I did. We were in that same sort of school. And it's just sad to see that she's gone. And it just reminded me of the way old journalists tend not to fade away, just go in some sort of dramatic way. There was a good friend of, I think you might have known him, actually, Eric, Brian Whittle.
Name rings a bell.
Used to have a major, major news agency in Manchester. You probably dealt with him because he dealt with the BBC and everything.
Yeah.
And this is just, in a way, my sort of tribute to Sue Carroll. Because as journalists, you all like to go in some way special. And Brian Whittle went in the best way ever I could ever remember. Brian Whittle died at his own leaving do.
Blimey.
Now that's the way to go, isn't it?
It's class.
It is, actually. Do you want to pick...
Kill two birds with one stone, then.
Do you know why in the old days, if you look at a conventional radio studio as we've got in here, or if you look at a DJ working in a nightclub, if it is that he wants to make the sound louder, he pushes the fader up, yes?
Yes.
Right. In the old BBC studios, they were the opposite way round.
Right.
So if you wanted it quieter, you push the fader up. If you wanted it louder, you pulled it towards you. And the purpose for that was, if you were taking it on air and slumped over the desk, instead of you switching your microphone on and going, or anything like that, you would actually turn your microphone off. Yes, absolutely true story. True story.
That's like a dead man's thing on a train, isn't it?
Correct. Yeah, exactly the thing. It's a dead man switch. Talking to people who've also left this world, but still won't go away, it's a comic book homage to the young Steve Jobs. Lee?
I think that's really lovely, don't you?
Yeah, absolutely.
Poor old Steve Jobs, yeah, and he's being recognised in probably one of the best ways that you can be recognised to the world, and that's to have a comic book hero named after you. It's like, is it a bird? Is it a plane? No, it's a big jobby. And that's the way he's going to be remembered now, isn't it?
No.
That's lovely, isn't it? Yeah.
I think if you walk down the high street in 20 years' time and go, Steve Jobs, comic book character or Apple, the answer will still be Apple.
Oh, yeah, I'm not taking away from what he's done. What I'm saying is, what a nice thing, what a nice tribute to have paid to your life.
Mm. That it's sort of a memoir, really, isn't it?
That's right, yeah, I just think it's really lovely. I'm really pleased for him. I want to have that done to me.
Without the comic book hero, we'd forget who you were.
Yeah. I'd like to have a Red Sop named after me.
Red Sop, yeah. Banking on Lee, not. Actually, we've got a bank for you. Banking on Lee.
That'll do, won't it? Yeah, come and give me all your money, ladies and gentlemen. I promise I'll look after it for you.
Yeah, in the pub.
At least we're going to some useful purpose.
Yeah, the toilet wall. Oh, God. As a prelude to the next item, we have a meat delivery company in Slovakia.
Yeah.
And on the side of their lorries, it says, nothing for vegetarians inside.
Really?
Yeah, and I think that's ace. You never get away with it in England.
Are you not able to get a picture of that?
I can. In fact, I will do for you. I nearly cried laughing. And of course,
that's very funny.
Everybody around it just sees it as normal. I just think it's hysterically funny. I'm sure the vegetarian brigade will be jumping up and down going, nah, 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 again. As new research has come out from Sweden, which has actually been linked, so I've read through the research, to pancreatic cancer.
Yeah.
And they reckon that if you eat 50 grams of processed meat, which is about 2 slices of bacon or 1 sausage every day, it would increase your risk of getting said cancer by 20% or thereabouts.
So 1 sausage a day will make you poorly.
Yes. Yep. So basically what it means is that everybody who's been eating an English breakfast for their entire life...
Are dead.
Yeah. Well, I mean, you know, that is quite amazing. I mean, I wonder if because, I mean, that is a typical English breakfast. Maybe not so much nowadays, but not...
One
so
sausage. Long. How many sausages do you have with your breakfast?
Well, I don't, but I tell you, when I'm in London, occasionally I like to go for a nice, you know, full English breakfast.
Absolutely.
And have a sausage and bacon and this sort of thing. But, I mean, it used to be every morning.
Yeah.
When I was a kid, every morning. I wonder whether we actually had a very high level of pancreatic cancer, which is now starting to fall.
Or, as the World Cancer Research Fund has suggested, the link might not be that. It might actually be down to obesity, not necessarily the sausage.
Well, there's more of that nowadays, isn't there?
Well, we are a fat nation. I think we are. I'm talking about the UK, obviously. We are a fat nation, and I think we're taking over the United States.
I think you could be.
Big girls.
But they do say that eating...
That's only the men.
Eating red and processed meat has been linked to other cancers. And I'm disappointed to say that a few years ago, in Poprad, as it goes, I had to have my appendix removed as they ruptured. And up until that point, my dream of life was to eat enough red meat to get my appendix working again.
But what did that have to do with...
That's not my phone, it's Mark.
That's not my phone either, it's that Mark again, isn't it?
Oh, yes.
I want to hear your conversation. Who are you talking to?
I'm not talking to anybody, and I'm sorry. It wasn't switched off.
Ah, there you go. Anyway, this study, if you do want to read it, was published in the British Journal of Cancer. And apparently it was over 6,500 people that were talked to within this piece of research. But it's another one of these things that's... I'm getting nervous of all this research coming out from Sweden at the minute because there's a hell of a lot of it.
And it's because they're attacking Danish bacon.
Oh, very good.
That just came to me in a flash of genius. What if you have a ham sandwich for your lunch and a steak for your tea?
You're still in trouble.
Well, they talk particularly about processed meat, aren't they? So, I mean, the ham...
Well, ham is processed.
Ham's processed. You don't get little square pigs running around.
The steak isn't, is it? Although the steak
is meat. Well, it's gone through a process, hasn't it?
Can be processed or not. Although, it is fair to say, and I'll stand and be counted on it, if you want to have unprocessed sausage meat from the kind of sausage you get at farm shops where they haven't gone through mass market... They are not processed in the same way.
But are they not talking about better smoked meats?
Yes.
I'm thinking about smoked fish. I mean, supposing that you eat smoked salmon with your scrambled eggs in the morning or your kippers for breakfast in the morning, which is delicious.
You're far too wealthy if you can afford salmon and what's it for breakfast.
Oh, it's dead cheap nowadays.
Is
it? Oh, salmon. Yeah. Horrible.
Smoked salmon's lovely.
I'd never let a fish. How does fish smoke anyway? It goes out if you
get it. You need very big whistlers, but I can tell you, once you get it round it...
Yeah.
Big whatsers? Whistlers?
Rizzlers.
Rizzlers.
A journalist at work. Anyway, moving along, a Russian, I can't believe this story, has found 79 Kalashnikov rifles and spare bits, according to Russian media reports, in boxes of firewood.
Yeah, well, what I want to know is where are the rest of them? Because they're sold in dozens, so there's obviously some missing.
But they could be.
That's right, six are missing.
Absolutely. That was quick.
and apparently...
Five. No, it can't be. There's more than that.
It's five, actually.
It was established that the army-issue rifles had been delivered to scrap, or for scrap, to a nearby arms plant, but the driver sold off the crates thinking they were empty.
So he
flogged them off a bit quick. And it had 253 magazines in there as well.
My God. My
penthouse? All the centre pages were removed.
I'm sorry, boys and girls.
I wouldn't have made a joke like that.
We're getting into toilet humour, which happens to be the next headline, and I think they've already got there. I was trying so hard to have a nice show today. I really was banking on it.
You're having a nice show. Me and Mark are just having a funny one.
Right. Oh, is that the way it's being played out today? Is it okay? I see. 2-1. I sense.
Have you left me?
No, I'm still here. Do you want me to go away?
No. Please stay.
Really?
Yes.
Lee?
Promise.
I'm getting hurt. I'm a little liar as well. Anyway, on to the toilet humour in question. The Top Gear special, which is broadcast over Christmas time, has got the wrath of India on its back again. Last time it was Mexico, now it's India. And apparently the Top Gear special in India was offensive and full of toilet humour, according to the High Commission of India in London. The December special featured jokes about food and trains and a Jaguar car fitted with a toilet on its boot, or trunk if you're in the US. And the HCI, the High Commission of India, has written to the BBC after it was contacted by too many people who were very upset by the programme. The BBC, which received 115 complaints about the show, said it would respond directly in due course to the High Commission in India. This is Mexico Mark 2.
Of course it is, and it's nothing to do with Mark. He didn't cause it. But it's true. This is just something that's been wound up out of all proportion. As a journalist, I know how this story's come about. They've looked at India, they've thought, right, what can we pick on? The first attempt at it, if you think this is a second bite at the cherry of this story that the media's generally had.
Right.
And the first one fell flat because it really wasn't that bad. There was obviously they complained that Jeremy Clarkson hadn't got his trousers on when he was at a trade mission. Well, everybody has to agree that the trade mission was a joke. It was supposed to be a joke. Everybody knew it was a joke. And Jeremy, for a joke, turned up without his trousers on, which was quite funny. He's not the best in the legal department, but it was funny. And now, because that didn't work, they've gone on and complained about another aspect of it. It's pathetic. It was funny, and it was meant to be funny. Jeremy Clarkson is a funny, funny man, and he uses sort of, what would you say, sort of vaudeville humour.
I've never thought of it.
I'm going to start disagreeing because, yes, it's funny, and yes, he's funny because I'm an English person and showing in England. But actually, we're talking about a very, very substantial, very up-and-coming country here. And we're talking about people in India who are complaining about it. Okay. And although, yes, it's funny, I think Clarkson really is getting a bit out of hand. There are so many other interesting things about India. And these particular problems about their lavatories and their water quality and so forth are very, very serious social problems for that. And I can certainly have a lot of sympathy with the people of India really not really being sort of very happy about having that kind of thing mocked.
Can I Can I just
we had our particular problems in England being mocked by the Indian equivalent of Jeremy Clarkson. I think we'd be up in arms.
No, we wouldn't. No, that's the biggest difference that I would say from...
Well, they were super tolerant. I don't think we are.
I think... No, I'm not saying we're super tolerant, Mark, but I think Brits have an amazing ability to laugh at themselves. That's not saying tolerance. It's laughing at themselves. And I think that is why, in certain countries, for example, if I was to tell the joke... How do you turn a fox into a dog?
Don't you dare.
Why?
Good joke.
It is, actually. It's not dirty, is it? It's not rude. No. But in some countries, it would be classified as unacceptable. Because do you know what the answer is, Mark, of how you change a fox into a dog? No. Marry it.
Oh, no, you used it.
I know. And in certain countries, they will be totally... devastated, mortified.
I don't think it's very funny, but I mean, you know, Clarkson here is dealing with international audiences. It's fine that, you know, we look and laugh at ourselves.
Right.
But I think, going around, you know, I mean, I think, you know, this is an incredibly important nation, and I have to say that I feel that where Clarkson's coming from is still seeing them as, and I'm very sorry if any Indian people listen to this, but I think Clarkson is treating them as a bunch of darkies. And I think that really is inherent in his attitude. And they're not. They're a magnificent country with huge problems. And I'll tell you what you're looking there is if you start teasing them, you're actually in the playground and you're mocking the big fat guy in the corner. And what you don't realise is that his puppy fat's coming off him and soon he's going to be the big strong guy that you've got to reckon with. And I think Clarkson's
Can I interrupt?
I was going to ask. Who is the man who's been to India recently?
Yeah, I've as ladies and gentlemen, you probably know, I lived in India for a couple of months and I'm writing quite a lot on it and I've appeared on the BBC about India and stuff like that.
On Radio 4, Mark!
Radio 4! And I've talked a lot about on... India on this show, and I watched the Jeremy Clarkson India special with great interest, and Andrea, my lovely partner who was there with me, we both said the same thing exactly, and that was, I can't believe how on the nose this presentation of India is by the Top Gear team. They've presented it in a very funny, very light-hearted way, but making some points. And they did not miss a beat in the content. The fact you, Mark, mentioned the fact that they have problems they have sanitary problems over there, quite true. It's not a little problem, it's a major problem that the country is aware of. Basically, people do what they should be doing inside, outside, mainly by choice, not by fact that there isn't anywhere else to do it. It's actually a choice. The fact that the driving is probably the most dangerous driving in the world is absolutely indisputable. It's a ludicrous country for so many ways. Mark's quite right. It does have its special qualities, which is what I've been talking about a lot, the beautiful spiritual aspects of it and everything. Mm-hmm. Even Clarkson touched on those in the programme. The programme treated India with perfect journalistic respect. It identified its problems, it highlighted them.
Excuse me, journalistic respect.
That's
an oxymoron.
That was a really obvious rebuttal.
Tell that to the Leaveson Inquiry.
Yeah.
Journalistic respect.
Yeah, well, you know, the world is filled with journalists far beyond Britain, and journalism is a respectable job. People have respectable ways of lives out of journalism, and really, journalism which like Jeremy Clarkson's, which is ribald, funny, just entertaining, but factually correct, is the bedrock of journalism. Mm. And he should be applauded for what he did. Nobody in India was really insulted by that program.
Well, that's not the case, because there are a lot of people seem to be very insulted.
You're right.
Clarkson is definitely a very funny showman.
Yeah. And he's got exactly what he wants. He's got a load of publicity because he didn't say anything wrong.
Yeah,
he actually didn't say anything wrong.
Right, moving along, gentlemen. We've got a lot to get in this week. Very briefly, the BBC's dropped its management bill by £21 million.
They sacked somebody then, did they?
I was going to say who to get rid of.
Well, the former director, assistant director general's gone. So that's obviously a lot, and he's not been replaced. But apparently, the BBC Trust chairman, Chris Patton, said he plans to make further cutbacks, reducing the proportion of managers to 1% of the BBC's total headcount by 2015. Good on you, Chris. And not before time as well. Keep the money in where the people are working, not the pen pushers further up.
I think you're quite right. I think the amount of money the BBC costs is ludicrous. And at a time when they're saying that they're going to start bringing adverts onto the BBC...
No. Whoa. What? The BBC what? World Service is separate, and still is separate, from, and in licensing terms, very separate, to that of the BBC Home Services.
I agree with you entirely, but it is still the fact that there is a principle now set by the BBC to have adverts on its airtime, whether it's at the World Service or wherever it is during this time. Also, I'll tell you what, while you're talking about that young fella, me lad, there was something that happened on BBC last weekend. I'm not going to name the thing because I can't remember it. Mm-hmm. But on the lottery show, right, they were saying, this is a BBC, main BBC, not the World Service BBC, right? The BBC at primetime television. And they were saying, if you win this week's lottery of whatever it was, sign 9 million billion pounds or something like that, you'll be able to afford this very expensive pair of shoes. And they spent at least 3 or 4 minutes talking about a pair of diamond encrusted shoes that were worth thousands of pounds. They named the shop, they named the maker, they named everything, the price. And I'm sitting there thinking, yeah, at times you do use things like that to illustrate a news story, but it was totally gratuitous. Mm. And they named all this thing on there. And I thought, well, is this the start of advertising on the BBC?
Well, we'll move on to a subject now which might actually do some good, because at long last, Eureka, the what is known as ITC, or Information Communication Technology, computer skills, as is going to be replaced in UK schools by a computer science program. Basically, it's going to stop all these idiots at schools claiming to be IT people who can't even use Word. I have experiences, as you can probably hear from the tone of my voice, with a stupid teacher who 11 years ago said my eldest daughter was stupid and gave her a bad mark on ITC, when in actual fact, she was more qualified than the stupid teacher trying to teach her because she was ahead of her.
Ooh.
I think we've all met teachers like that.
I'll rest my case. They were pathetic. And the problem, I guess, was that having a father like me with the kit around that I had at the time, my daughter, who I encouraged to use equipment, whether she did or she didn't, it was up to her, was at 7 and 8 years old doing PowerPoint. Whereas the school was saying, oh, well, she should use Paint. I said, no, she uses Paint Shop Pro. Not Paint.
Is she a decorator?
No, because she was more advanced. And I've heard this from so many parents, and I pray to God that they get the teachers in there doing it, because these kids are going to be dead on their feet for a job if they haven't got some ITC skills. ICT skills in the future.
I think you're right. I think you're absolutely right. And why aren't the kids teaching at the school, teaching the grown-ups at school?
Oh, you couldn't do that, you see.
No,
because the teachers know everything.
That's the problem with teachers, isn't it?
Yeah, one more brain cell, they'll have one of they'll be equal to an amoeba.
Right, that's it. We'll have everybody onto the teachers' union. And isn't it funny that the teachers' union's called NUT, nut, eh?
they just wind me up. Teaching, if you think about it, is dictating. What they should be doing is coaching, not dictating.
Absolutely. I had a real long conversation with a leading teaching sort of person. She was head of education, big city education. I'm not saying which one because everybody knows who she is. Mm. And I said sort of very simply that I think it was Carson McCullough said that If a child doesn't learn, it is not because the child has failed, it's because the teacher has failed.
Agreed.
And this educationalist, this leading educationalist who has control of thousands and thousands of children's lives, actually said, oh, that is absolutely ridiculous. There are children who just don't want to learn. And I thought, well, if that, yeah, exactly, if that's the standard of the teaching background that the teachers are having, that it doesn't matter if that kid didn't learn, it's its fault, not your son, you're pretty good. Well, that's it.
Actually, I've got a true story for you very quickly. I had many years ago an office in Ashford in Kent, and one of the people that worked for us, her son was just lambasted by the school, and it was at the time when they brought in the summer work experience program. The companies had to pay for everything, and I said, yeah, okay, we'll have him in here. Let's see if we can do something with him. You say he's a problem child. I just see that as a great challenge. So we got the kid in. What he was an absolute gadget guru. I couldn't believe my luck. He was in love with gadgets.
And so that's it. You identified what his skills and proclivities were.
Well, exactly. I then surrounded him with my world of gadgets.
Oh, no.
And at the end of this work experience, he had an opportunity to go and apply for a job. And we extended his work experience by an extra 2 weeks, because I just thought it might give him a bit of a better chance. By which time I taught him about satellite receivers, radio transmitters for latest mobile phones, all sorts of manner of wondrous things like that. And he went and applied for a job. Guess where he went?
Go on.
Dixon's.
Oh, really?
Right. Now, he'd got the worst school reports on the planet. Yeah. Uh-huh. They took my report of him and worked with it, gave him a job. Inside 2 years, he was a manager. And he came down to the office, he said, thanks ever so much, Eric. He said, anything I can ever do for you? He said, tell me. I said, I've got a great idea for you, mate. Would you do me a favour? Would you go to the school, make an appointment to the teacher that gave you that bad report, walk into their classroom and go, and walk out again. I don't know whether he did or he didn't, but they grate me so much that because they're not looking for the inner qualities of the students, all they're absolutely doing is going, where's my wage packet, and I'm working too long.
Here's a really quick example of that happened to me when I was a child, because if the ladies and gentlemen will remember back to a decade or so ago when I was at school,
the 40s,
right, you were allowed to choose certain lessons that you wanted to do.
20 seconds, Lee.
I put on my file, I want to do drama and I want to do art and I want to do English. I ended up being given physics, chemistry and technical drawing.
Marvellous.
This is RTI, from the heart of Europe to the world, the station of the stars.